John 20, verses 24 through 29, and we talk about scars. Verse 24. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from the one who is called the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's also the resurrection and the life. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. As said, we continue our sermon series titled, "I Can Only Imagine," as we look at biblical glimpses of paradise. And we do so in today's Bible story as well. The title of this message is Scars of Triumph. So let me ask a personal question. How is your body in the scar department? I mean, is your body marked up by some of the battle scars along the way of life? Hey, I just so happen to have a few miles on this model. And I want to tell you, by the age of 40, I had a scar to match every single year of life. You see, I grew up much like many of you, hunting, fishing, playing on the roof, chunking rocks, climbing trees. And for me, those things usually didn't happen without incident. I suppose I was and am a bit still what you might call accident prone. It also seemed that I was no stranger to going under the surgeon's knife. So many body scars that I had that, in addition to telling my kids traditional fairy tale stories at bedtime, I would also tell them personal scar stories. Hey, when I was a year and a half old, I was standing on the back of the rocking chair. I don't know what I was doing standing on the back of the rocking chair, but I flipped off, causing a hernia. Yep, 18 months old, hernia surgery. I cannot show you that scar. When I was 4, I was playing on the steps at the house. And back in the day, believe it or not, we had this vocation back then called milkmen. And milkmen drove milk trucks, and they would deliver fresh milk to your doorstep weekly or however you had the arrangement set up. Does anybody recall those days? I just want to make sure that I'm not making this up. Yeah. These gallon jugs were not made of plastic like they are today. They were made of glass. So I was on the back porch, and clumsy me, I picked one up, and I fell down. The jug shattered in my arms, gashing my wrist. ER, many stitches, and still today, doctors cannot find a pulse in my right wrist. Another time, I was 8 years old. I was running on the sidewalk at my granny's house, and I slipped. I hit my knee on the corner of the concrete, took out a chunk of flesh. I can show you that one after church. When I was 12 years old, I was playing in a pickup football game in an empty lot. I stretched out, made the great catch, brought it in, rolled over, and when I rolled over, I rolled over right on a broken Coke bottle. Nasty, nasty deep gash in my back. Age 13, Pony League baseball. You know, Pony League, you graduate from Little League. Little League, you have to use those plastic cleats. But in Pony League, you get to use steel cleats. So I was sliding into second base. The shortstop had jumped real high to catch the ball, to bring it down on a tag on my leg. But he didn't bring the ball down on a tag on my leg. Instead, he brought his steel cleats down on the calf of my leg, ripping my flesh wide open. age 19, I got a fillet knife for my birthday. You know where this one is going. Upon immediately opening the plastic package, the knife spins up in the air. And for me, not to allow that knife to go to the floor and to tear up the carpet, silly me, I grab the knife out of the air. Only to jab it through the webbing between two of my fingers. ER and stitches again. A year later, I was working summer for some carpenters. I was cutting ceiling joists with a skill saw. The safety guard did not go back. It got caught up. And as I brought it down to the side of my leg, the blade went, stopped right in my thigh. ER and 20 more stitches. But a week of vacation. Shall I go on with more scar stories? Some say no, but someone said yes, so I'm going to continue. Playing outdoor basketball, a defender hard fouls me as I went up for a layup. I fell into the hurricane fence so that I wouldn't fall to the ground, and I'll be darned if it wasn't that same finger that got cut by a fillet knife. I hung it on a wire. Oh, my goodness. Back to the ER, more stitches, and by now we are on a first-name basis. That same summer, I was hauling hay four layers up, throwing bales into the barn loft when a bale wire broke, causing me to lose my balance. I fell head first onto the three-point hitch on the tractor. Lucky me, I am half Bohemian, half German. Hard head. So I only ripped the temple of my corner of my head over here. I could have knocked out an eye or teeth, but guess what? Trip to the ER and more stitches. You see, I'm not even half done with scar stories, and none of these include my 5 knee surgeries, 2 more hernia surgeries, and an appendix removal. I'm telling you, by age 40, I had a scar for every year of life. How about you? Your scars. Your scar stories. You know, I'm not talking about the ones in the flesh. I'm talking about ones in the heart, in the soul, in the mind. Could be scars from practically anything. Maybe the death of a loved one. Or maybe a time when you got your heart tramped on. Or maybe it was a betrayal. Possibly a nasty memory from a bad divorce. Is there a good divorce? Shattered dreams. Disappointment over family. Disappointment over not being able to have children. Hurts about the things that you said or did, or things that were said or done to you. Maybe regrets, guilt, poor judgments made along the way. Things that you wish you could reel in a wild season of your life. Or how about the scars now seared on the minds of those in Santa Fe, Texas? All these injuries affect us many times with great agony and anguish. And they certainly can heal to some degree with faith and prayer over intentional use of time. But indeed, wounds that no less leave a permanent mark upon us. Today's glimpse of heaven is good news. It's good news for those of us who bear such marks. For in this Bible story is a surprising word which happens on Easter. You see, the Bible story says it was Easter evening. The disciples were locked behind closed doors, locked doors in the upper room for fear of the Jews. They were scared that the Jews were going to do to them what they had done to Jesus in killing him. Suddenly the story says Jesus appears and he celebrates his resurrection from the dead. It goes on to say that Thomas was not with him that day. And upon hearing that the other disciples had seen the Lord, Thomas says, "Unless I see the mark of nails in his hands and put my finger in that mark and my hand in his side, I will not believe." So it was a week later. Jesus appeared to them again, same room. This time Thomas was present. Jesus specifically addresses Thomas by saying, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Do you hear it? It's very subtle, but it is there, so don't miss it, because it applies to each of us. Jesus was risen from the dead. He had already ascended to the Father in heaven, and now he comes back to earth to show himself to the disciples, and lo and behold, he has scars. Among the many great things that this Bible story tells us is that in the resurrection, in the heavenly realm, Jesus still bears earthly scars. His mortal body that held the imprints of the nails, the piercings through his hands and his feet, and the thrust of the spear through his side are still part of who he is as the risen Savior. The difference being, he is now victor over all of them. The very scars that put him in the grave did not keep him in the grave. And this is nothing short of good news for any of us, for any of us who bear the scars of this temporal world. For you see, if our bodies are going to be anything in any way like Jesus in heaven, this glimpse of heaven that we get today from this Bible story is that we too shall bear our scars in heaven as well. These indentations that life presses upon us in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds may well follow us into eternity. But get this, these scars that once caused us immense pain, torture, nightmares, and grief no longer hold any power over us. It's very much like my great uncle John. Uncle John is not with us anymore. Uncle John served in Germany, World War II. When his service ended, he smuggled back into the U.S. of A war trophy in his duffel bag. It was an 8-millimeter rifle, and it had 4 Nazi swastikas engraved on the barrel. And I don't know if Uncle John stole it off of a dead enemy soldier, or if he won it in a poker game, or exactly what. But he brought back this war relic. On occasion, when we were visiting Uncle John, he would go to the closet, and he would bring it out, and he would display it to us as family. I recall as a kid looking at it, and looking very specifically at those tiny German Nazi swastikas and saying, wow. It was like, to some degree, he was bringing it out and parading an artifact that once was a frightening power. So something that once had an ugly threat to it. Something that once upon a time tried to steal joy and life and freedom from us. Something that once inflicted deep wounds and scars upon humanity. But now, totally powerless. For it was no longer in the possession of the enemy. It was now in the hands of the victor. You see, due to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the battle scars that we may well carry into eternity will no longer hold any type of threat to us, because they are no longer in the hands of the powers of this world in sin and Satan and death, but in possession of Jesus, who is our Savior. Our scars have been defeated. And to some degree, as you think about it, they can be displayed to celebrate what Christ has done in defeating them. 2 Corinthians 4 says it this way. We have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. For we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body, our body, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. Couple that with what Isaiah 53 says, by his wounds we are healed. Yes, by Jesus' scars, By his scars, our scars are healed. We who are very much like fragile clay pots are vulnerable to the scars of this life. Yet our ugly marks are healed by Christ, who endured for us and took on the scars of our humanity. Therefore, let them be displayed into eternity. For even the ugliest of them hold no power over us. For you see, a perfect body in heaven, it's not one without blemish or stain. But a perfect body in heaven is one whose scars and marks have been redeemed, have been redefined, have been turned over by the resurrection. So why? Why should we wait until we get to heaven to celebrate Christ redeeming our scars? Why not display the power of Christ's resurrection over the elements of this world that have scarred our bodies and souls in the here and now on planet Earth? To some degree, it's like the man in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, who once upon a time traded everything. Traded his job, his family, marriage, children, savings, house, everything. Traded everything, dealt it away for the bottle. Wrecked his life and many around him, causing great scars, great, huge scars. But now it's 20 years later of not drinking and leaning into his faith on Jesus that he now mentors young alcoholics in sobriety. You see, this man still bears some of the effects of his scars, but these scars now point to his triumph in Jesus over them. Or the woman who was misdiagnosed with having breast cancer. She decided to aggressively have both breasts removed, only to find out a month later that the lab had misread the biopsy. She had no cancer at all. And so turning deep into her faith and away from what could have been a life of ugly bitterness and resentment, she doesn't sue for malpractice, but she forgives the doctor. Scars which she sees on a daily basis in the mirror, but scars that she has allowed Christ to redeem with a greater power. Two sisters become alienated over a family inheritance. After 3 decades of separation, they do come together. They reconcile, they bury the past, they begin a new relationship. They bear the scars of spoken, broken words and lost time together. But these scars will no longer enslave them. Or the high school girl who was killed in a car accident. The deep and painful scar like no other. After years of therapy and wrestling with God and soul searching and struggling to find greater purpose for this loss, the mother is now one of the very first people to respond to a family who finds themselves in this tragic situation of burying a child. A painful, painful scar which she will always bear, but a scar that she somehow, some way now triumphs over each and every time she responds to another's similar pain. Yes, we can only imagine. We can only imagine what heaven will be like with our scars. Our scars that have been defeated. That's in heaven. But we can also start to get a glimpse of what it looks like here on planet Earth, as we allow God to take our scars and turn them into triumphs in the here and now. And when we do, not only can we just imagine heaven, we actually get to experience a bit of it here on planet Earth. Amen. Amen.